Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk.
I love seeing little kids with the jerseys on and, you know what I mean, saying what's up to them, taking pictures with them. And I always make time for the fans no matter what, no matter win, lose, or draw. It was said, you know, out of frustration, you know, in a jokingly way, thinking I was talking to a close friend and I wasn't. And, you know, I regret it, man. It is horrible. But I think anybody who has, you know, talked to me in the last couple of years knows that I really appreciate all the support from the fans here. And I love my teammates, you know what I mean? And they've sat down and told me they love me the same way. So it's something that I'm going to have to just keep dealing with and just, you know, try to earn everybody's respect back. But it's not acceptable no matter if I thought it was somebody else or whatever. And, you know, I just got to keep working to be a better person.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast. JP Finley here. We are brought to you by Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, and you guys should do the same. All right, we got Pete is in the car. Pete, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, JP and Mitch and Keim?
All right, Mitch and Keim are in the car, too.
That surprise. Thanks a lot, man. The Pete, big unveil.
Way to blow it.
Pete always delivering. We actually have Mitch on the phone, which is kind of unique. How are you, sir? Mitch, how was the Dave Matthews concert?
Dave Matthews concert was fun last night. Put on a good show. It was good to take a night off from football and enjoy some music.
Dude, so I actually turned multiple ticket offers down because I wanted to watch Chargers Chiefs, and I'm pretty cool with my decision. That game was awesome.
I loved it. Yeah, that was great. I love Philip Rivers.
I love Rivers. I loved them going for two at the end.
Yeah, well, that was a no-brainer.
And there was enough defense in that game. It wasn't like what Rams Chiefs was a little while back. This wasn't that.
It wasn't Big 12-ish.
Right.
That fourth down throw from Rivers to Benjamin where he threw it like 3 seconds before Benjamin turned around was sick.
I mean, he put in, dude, that was clear helmet to helmet that they just didn't call. Great. So you still cool going to Dave Matthews, Mitch, after hearing us talk about this game?
I am. I was actually in a suite, so we had a TV with the game on, and Dave Matthews was right behind it.
Oh!
That's the both world.
Dropping the mic.
Was that our suite, or whose suite were you in?
It actually wasn't our suite. It was one of my buddy's suites. He was kind enough to bring us out.
There you go. So if it's not even our work suite, you can kind of do what you want. You don't have to pretend to behave or anything.
Yeah, I don't behave in the work suite anyway, so they don't invite me often.
All right, let's get down to business. The Skins are 2 days away from a oddly important game in Jacksonville. They're still in the middle of a race that nobody wants to win, which is the race for the sixth seed in the NFC, the second wild card. I'm on record as not expecting them to get there, but I do believe if there is a winnable game left for Washington, this is it. I think... We don't know what the hell Josh Johnson's going to be, but this is his chance before there's much film out there or anything. Before we get into all that, let's go through what we know injury-wise. Ryan Anderson is out. Who else has been ruled all the way out?
Colt McCoy
is out.
Shocking. Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed is out. Gosh, we can almost name the inactives before we... Tony Bergstrom is out. Yeah. All right, there's four that are all on the roster that are going to be inactive.
Yeah.
Chris Thompson missed Friday's practice with an illness. I believe he'll go. I don't know that, but like an illness is just kind of unique from Thompson. He's not a guy that misses a ton of time.
Zach Brown's not going to love it if Chris Thompson gets to play because of an illness.
It's a one-time illness versus a recurring illness.
Fair enough.
How about that? help me out here.
Ryan Anderson running around out there.
Are you on tape delay, Mitch? We just said that Anderson's been ruled out.
A lot of weird bits with Mitch and Ryan Anderson this year.
Ryan Anderson has been your one big miss all season, buddy.
It's a bad phone connection.
Yeah, you just pulled a Tarek. That's what you just did. All right, is there anybody else? Like, I'm trying to think if there's anybody else we think really might not play.
Sunburn.
Well, so by the time you guys listen to this, the Redskins may very well have a new long snapper. There's some serious concerns about Nick Sundberg's lower back. He's been dealing with pain all season, and Sundberg's a veteran in this league. He'll kind of tell you that that's life as a long snapper, is dealing with pain in your lower back. But the Redskins, Jay Gruden said that they were waiting to get some results from a MRI on Sundberg's lower back, and that the team was flying in long snappers to give them a tryout. Generally, if you're flying in long snappers, it's not like linebackers or wide receivers where you want to see what's available because you have other options. You only have one long snapper on a roster, and if you're worried about a guy, typically you're going to make a move. And I'm guessing we'll see what happens. We'll leave it at that.
Regardless, he's in doubt.
Yeah, and Nick is an all-time good dude, and we hope the absolute best for him. A couple other things I have.
He'll do the plays there a lot. Remember, he broke his arm.
Yeah.
Well, it was 2 years ago and played the rest of the game with it. So he's not a guy who's sidelined by a minor pain.
And most of these guys aren't, too. That's what always I get. Well, that's a whole other topic.
You can say it.
Well, no, I always laugh when people call some of these guys soft.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, you know, they'll say, well, I would do this at work. Well, you're not doing, your job doesn't require what theirs does. And when you see what some of these guys go through, when you see Paul Richardson's shoulder sticking out of his from his skin and playing through that for like 8 or 9 weeks, and it's not just him, it's like all these guys are going through crap that people just don't realize.
When you see they're unable to move for 3 days and then they play on Sunday.
And when you talk to them just privately about stuff and what they go through, it's you know, it's amazing that some of these guys don't miss more.
So I want to do this relatively quick. There's two things I want to touch on. And look, our survivor pool guys, we're gonna figure something out, all right? It's coming at the end of the podcast. All right, Mason Foster talked to the media today. It's the first time he's talked since the Instagram comments all kind of emerged and created all this shitstorm surrounding it. To me, Mason seemed contrite. I think he hates that all this happened. I think he blames a lot of it on his cousin, but he places the blame on himself. We know that he sent the initial text or DM that said F the team and the fan base. I in no way think he meant that. I think it was a crazy situation. He apologized. He said he apologized to his teammates, and he said how much he cares about the fans, and he shows that week after week throughout training camp. I mean, you see Mason sign every autograph, take every picture.
And he's always out front with speaking to the media, which is, you know, here when you're talking to the media, you're talking to the fans.
Right. And Mitch brought that up the other day, and Matt Turrell actually kind of questioned it. And I want to go back to it, like, that Mason will always show up and take our questions, even after a game like the Saints game or the Giants game. That speaks to his character, and that is allowing the fans a window into what's going on in the team.
Sure. And all that being said,
what he did was wrong.
Yeah, it doesn't excuse it. I want to be clear on that.
Yep.
And I don't know, like, I'm not saying that I believe this or believe that, because we present the information, you know, and I know people aren't gonna believe what Mason Foster said, which is, I asked him a question about that. But if this is what he says happened, I told you earlier today, I think if they're 10-3, a lot of people probably believe him,
right?
Because they're 10-3,
right?
And just the way things are going with this team, nobody's gonna believe anything that comes out of here. Fair or not, I'm not saying that they should or they shouldn't. That's, they can make up their own mind.
The team has lost the benefit of the doubt.
Correct, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, like in this case, what I wish had happened is that, when was this a story? Tuesday night?
Yeah.
That we had talked to him on Wednesday about this and get it cleared up right away, because this is the second time in a few weeks where a story that could have been handled in a day or two lingered into Friday.
And I'll say, letting Jay have to answer all these questions did him no favors, because Jay, frankly, he's an NFL coach who recognizes that his job is in jeopardy every week, and he's trying to beat the Jaguars to stay in playoff contention. He's not going to care about what Mason may or may not have said on Instagram.
On a private Instagram chat.
Right.
And And again, I'm not making excuses for him. Sure. So I need to be clear on this, but I know that this was a, whether he did it, someone else did it, whatever, it is a private chat. So like if we're sitting here turning this phone off, And you and Pete once again starts ripping on NBC Sports Washington.
I know. Hey, come on, Con.
But you know,
Pete wants to know when he's getting his company car. Damn
so,
it!
Yeah. So, like, say somebody starts doing that, and then I put it out there. Well, yeah, maybe you shouldn't say it. It's still a private chat. And I think that's where some of the, to me, some of the, I don't know about gray, but like I said,
what Mason did
in the end, I mean, he shouldn't.
Is unequivocally wrong.
Correct.
But everything surrounding it needs context.
Correct. And that's, thank you.
Yeah, we don't need to get too far into this again, but the difference between what you said, Kaim, is that you, me, and JP, I would like to think are friends. I don't know if you guys really are friends with me, but
we're friends, Pete.
Mason needs to know that whoever he's talking to online is not his friend. And also, it's so easy to screenshot something, make a private thing public. On the internet, nothing's really private.
And I would say that, like, I tell my kids that all the time. It's like, you can't assume anything on there, and you have to be very protective of your words on social media. And so that's an absolute lesson that anybody should take from this. And again, you know, I'm not saying that you have to believe Mason, you have to do this, you have to do that. You can make up your own mind. But like you said, there's some context here that I think that where it just makes it a little bit, it just makes it harder.
Murky.
Yeah, murky. But I also understand from a fan's perspective, it's yet another week where they feel like they're getting dumped on.
Yeah.
And I don't.
That's frustrating.
I don't blame them because the product hasn't been good enough, and not just this year, but over the years, to give them benefits of the doubt. And
sure.
And I think like this whole year has been about where's the fan base going, and this is yet another example for them of something where they get crapped on.
Mitch, anything to add to Mace? Because I got Simi Cobbs up next on deck here.
I'm ready to take a shot at Simi Cobbs. I mean, unequivocally, what he said was wrong. In response to, you know, Turl and those who thought that I was trying to give him a pass because he speaks to the media, the point that I was making about, you kind of brought up, him talking to the media is just a conduit to the fan. And, and fans need to recognize that by when you read all these quotes and see things that Mace says, he's giving you more insight into the team than what a lot of other players are.
Well said.
And can I, if I can piggyback on the media thing too, like, because some people say, well, you're just protecting a source. But
he's on the record with cameras in his face.
Correct.
That's not
a
source.
It's not, I don't like, my reporting doesn't depend or rely on him calling me up or anything like that. So there's no, you know, from my perspective, I'm sure for a lot of people's perspective, it doesn't rely on that. So that's, it's not always about protecting people too. And it's like, again, in this case, you put the information out and people can believe what they want to believe.
Yep.
Period.
Totally.
Anyway.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Simi Cobbs, the Redskins rookie undrafted wideout, got picked up by the New Orleans Saints. So for people that don't know practice squad rules, players on any practice squad in the NFL, another team can claim them at any moment, and they have to put them to their active 53-man roster. So Simi Cobbs has gone from Redskins practice squad to the active 53 of the first in the NFC leading New Orleans Saints. What are they, 11-3? No, that's too many games.
10-3, right?
10-3 sounds right.
They had to drag him out of the locker room. He was like, no, please don't make me go play with the Saints.
No, what'd you say you saw, Pete? That's interesting.
I saw, so Zach Brown was kind of walking around in the locker room in the jacket, just kind of talking to nobody, and I was listening. He's like, man, that guy's going to go ball for the Saints. He's going to go catch so many touchdowns from Drew Brees. And I couldn't tell who he was talking about. We hadn't gotten the information yet. And then we come up to the trailer, and someone goes, Simi Cobbs of the Saints. And I go, oh, that's who Zach was talking about. And this is a guy who Zach is, you know, watching practice for 13 weeks this season. And maybe he's just being a little, you know, funny, but I think there might be some truth to that. If Zach Brown's saying Simi Cobbs is going to go ball out, he's going to have a chance.
He's not the only one, I think, who's been saying.
Plenty of folks in the building have been talking about Simi. And you see, like, his just excitement. Like, in the last month, there haven't been a lot of guys that excited and, like, fired up and kind of you don't want to say like boyish, but like giddy. And Simi Cozz will be running around after a practice with his iPad trying to show off the practice film. Like, yo,
I got my feet in.
He's like, I told you this was a catch. Yeah. And you know, there's some of that can be infectious.
Yeah, and I have
infectious been, is a bad word.
Right, but. And it was. But I've been, you know, I think we've all been hearing about this for probably several weeks. And Chris Cooley, I know, has been on that for a while.
And saying it publicly.
Saying it publicly, right. And I remember one day, like right before he started saying that, I saw him in practice and he went by, I think it was one of their corners, and it was beat him down the field. It's like, he's not a fast guy, but he's got the size that you can do some stuff on the field, watch him in college. But, you know, I mean, this is... I think if the Redskins hadn't had the issues at tight end where they have to now promote somebody, there may have been a way for them to keep him.
Well, I kind of thought as Doxson was or wasn't playing, dealing with the concussion issue, that Cobbs might get called up anyway. But I guess we didn't touch on this. Doxson practiced on Friday. He's still in the protocol, but you have to have a controlled practice. And then I think the final step to getting cleared would be tomorrow.
And here's the other thing, is like someone else pointed out too, is like they do have 5 running backs. That's a lot.
It's absurd.
So if they really wanted to keep
two him, inactive running backs every week.
If they wanted to keep him, they could have found a way.
Right. And 5 running backs that they're not, it's not like all these guys are getting crazy production out of.
But I'm also guessing that one of those running backs may be in trouble if they have to, when they bring up a tight end. We don't know yet.
Right.
Because they have to make a corresponding move, and we don't know. It could be someone else going on IR, you know.
Right.
Maybe Jordan Reed will go on. We don't know.
Right.
But they have to make their corresponding move.
I asked Gruden today.
After last year and all the roster juggling you had to do, did you ever think you'd get to this point and be doing more of it?
Yeah, I mean, no.
Perfect Gruden. He's like, yeah, but no. Did you hear that? He's like, yeah, but no.
Yeah.
Pete, that was a good story about Simi, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, before we get down to business with inactives and over-unders and stuff, I get asked this question a lot. What would you say
what
the mood...
What is Pete really like?
No, Pete's a good dude. What would you say the mood this week or today, whichever way you want to answer that, what would you say the mood is like out here in the locker room on the practice field? Well, John, you start.
Well, are we talking which side of the ball?
That's a great point.
And I think
it's an open-ended question.
Because I think when you talk to the offensive guys, there's a lot more. We're still in this. We have to do this. You talk to Adrian Peterson, Chris Thompson, a lot of those other guys. And then you have like Josh Johnson getting the chance of a lifetime for him that you don't think he's fired up and is ready to, you know, he wants to go out and play and show. Whatever he does, we don't know. But the point is, I think there's a little bit more enthusiasm or, I don't know, energy maybe than on that side of the ball. I think on defense, it seems like there's a lot of putting out fires. There's a lot of, you know, I get the feeling
week
that...
Week after week.
Yeah, and I
week.
Think it's... I get the feeling that, you know, it's week, what, 14 or 15? What are we... Week 15?
Yeah.
It feels like week 17 for them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was going to go quite as hard as John when where he says it sounds like it's week 17, but, you know, there's a certain way that you have to act as a professional at your job, whatever your job may be. And when things are going well, it's super easy to go in and be positive and, you know, have and act as a professional. And obviously when you're having a bad week or things aren't going well, you know, you have to work extra hard and it's more business-like. And so that's how I would kind of describe the two sides of the ball. You have a little bit of excitement on the offensive side where, you know, Josh brings his energy and, you know, it's kind of easy for these guys to be professionals and, you know, go into practice and they have a little bit of a uptick or so in the way that it is. Whereas on the defense, I think you see guys are having to consciously be professional, consciously, you know, be active, you know, act the correct way, you know, have the right mental frame of mind going into practices and film sessions and stuff like that. So that's kind of where I kind of feel like business-like is kind of more the feeling out there, and there's a little bit of, you know, what each side of the ball feels a little bit differently.
Pete?
Is tenuous an appropriate word?
Sure,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'd say tenuous just because we've talked about it all week. They're technically in the playoff picture. Does it feel like it? No, but you would like a team that has a somewhat clear, straightforward path to feel more positive and feel more energized. But we've had a lot of questions this week with players, like asking them, like, hey, do you guys feel like you're in the playoffs? And they all kind of sigh and shake their head and like, yeah, man, we have to remind ourselves that. And it seems like they're just kind of forcing themselves to get in this frame of mind when in reality you would like them to not have to force themselves to.
And so to that, 2 points. One, I agree with you, except when you talk to Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Like, but it feels that like- dude operates on a different wavelength.
Right.
He's like, we still have a chance.
Why does he think he still has a chance? Because he saw it where?
Where?
on ESPN. You saw the playoff.
Yeah, that was a good plug.
Come on, he saw the playoff.
That's a good plug. Yeah. Right. But
but it feels like he's battling. Like, he's trying to get that message through everybody else, and it may just not be getting there.
Well, enough that he addressed the team last year.
And also, like, he's a guy who's, look at what he's doing at this age. He's a, this is the reason why he's advanced
right,
to this
Right, that's
age
what I'm saying.
And
yeah.
so, like,
and like, look at where his, like, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Like, he's just in the league. Yeah. yeah.
I don't feel like necessarily that all these defensive players are checking out already, but to say, you know, I don't think, like, when you watch him play, I didn't feel like it was an effort thing. I felt like there were some plays that are giving up because they play it poorly more than, in, you know, like, guys not working hard to get to the ball or whatever. I think some guys just aren't very good. You know, I'm watching yep. one coverage the other day where there's, like, in coverage, there's six guys doing the right coverage, and one guy completely blows it.
Right.
That's not effort. That's just bad defense by right. one guy.
Well, here was the other thing I wanted to say, and I'm talking specific to today. And it's important to start by saying Friday practices open with special teams. And so there's a significant 10, 15-minute portion that we as the media are allowed to watch that only half, maybe two-thirds of the team are participating in.
Yeah.
And really some of the biggest names, the folks that sell jerseys.
The Kerrigan.
Right. Well, they're not on the field at this point because it's special teams practice. But Friday, and then in the locker room after, too. Everything until Mason talked, which was right at the end of the open locker room session. It was pretty loose in there. And loose can be interpreted a number of different ways. One is that good. They're loose. They're not tightening up. They're not, you know, they're not bickering. They recognize, hey, let's go win this football game. We're still in this. Or loose is, hey, maybe we feel like this thing is over already and we're checked out. I don't know the answer
we'll
to that.
We'll know it between 1 and 4 on Sunday. That's
exactly.
What we'll get. Because
I agree.
There have been a number of years where they come in there like that on a Friday and you just say, well, they're very loose and I don't know yet what it means because you can't know. You know, and I think if you see guys, you know, screwing around in practice, bigger deal. Coming
right.
in there, end of the week, guys are like,
right.
they've had a hell of a week after that embarrassing loss.
Right.
And a deserved bad week because it was an embarrassing
right.
loss. But you get to this part of the week and there's going to be an uptick because you do have a game. You're done with the week, done with the hard stuff. Now you get to go play a game. So.
And I think it's going to be interesting because guys have said we're not serious enough and guys have said sometimes we do have to have fun. So maybe they found that balance and we'll see in Jacksonville. So
if they win,
they found the balance, right.
We talk a lot on our game day pods after the games about how, you know, the way that they warm up before the game, whether they come out in their shorts and t-shirt or whether everyone kind of waits to come out in pads, you get a feel pregame of how they're going. I can tell you from doing this long enough that a lot of times it's get late in the season and the seasons are over, quote unquote, in the players' minds, that those warm ups that looseness translates to those guys, you know, not coming out and warming up and just kind of going through motions or whatever. So you hope that they're not, and that's not kind of how they're attacking things as they go forward.
Sunday, 1 to 4. All right, so time for some business here. I want to thank the good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Go buy a Chevy. What do you drive, Pete? A Chevy Equinox?
Chevy Equinox, and I love that damn car.
Go buy a Chevy Equinox from Bob Biaggi at Orsman Chevy Buick GMC of Alexandria. Boom. All right. Let's guess the inactives. So we know Colt, Jordan Reed, Tony Bergstrom, and Ryan Anderson. There's four.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing Samaje Perine is five.
Five, and then who else did we
and Marcus Smith?
D lineman?
Yeah.
Yeah, Marcus Smith's on the active, right?
Yeah.
Well, don't.
Will they have to use him now that Anderson's down?
Well, we also have to see what happens with
Nick.
Sundberg.
Well, Sundberg won't.
Sundberg.
I think if he's not.
He may be
IR rather
right,
than.
Right, right.
Then
he won't be inactive.
Yeah.
Because
you'd want to have three tight ends up, so whoever comes up
would a corner be inactive, or do they need all those guys now that Dunny's on the IR?
I think they probably would need them all.
Bergstrom's inactive. What about the new guy they just signed, Fuller?
Oh, yeah, the guard.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
Fuller.
We'll meet him.
Well, and last week,
Bawako's going to start.
Right. So, Bawako in his second year is going to start.
Right, and Last week they had P. Ryan and Bibbs down, so it could be P. Ryan and Bibbs.
Right, you need a backup guard slash center.
And so who do they have? Kerrigan, Preston, McPhee, and they sign, that's Marcus Smith.
Yeah.
And then at middle linebacker, it's Hamilton, Clemens, Foster, Brown, Vigil.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Vigil down. Somewhere in there.
You would think.
Yeah. You want to do over-unders, boys?
Let's do them.
Okay.
Our fourth quarterback over-under of the year.
I mean, this is tricky to do at this point.
We didn't even do Sanchez last week.
We didn't do Sanchez. I'm oddly more optimistic about Josh Johnson. So I will open the bidding at 200 yards passing, the Mendoza line. Does that seem too high?
I think that's a good number. I think 199 and a half.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go.
You think it's too high?
No, I think it's probably.
Let's remember it's a good defensive. Well, it's a good defense when they want to be.
Yeah, and
Pete, are you happy at 200?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Kime?
Okay.
All right, we'll set it at 199 and a half, and I'm going under.
I'm going under.
Under.
Mitch?
I'm going under.
Well, should we set it lower? Does it need to be 180?
No, because I don't want to have to think. No. Right. Just like keep it there because we're all under. That's okay.
All right. Adrian Peterson rush yards. This hasn't been a pretty number for a while now. The Jags have a good stout front.
Except for Derrick Henry.
Right. Derrick Henry just put up 240 almost, and four touchdowns on him.
From stiff arms.
50 yards?
I think it's fine because it needs to kind of be tied in with Josh Johnson because that number goes down.
This is the lowest under Vegas has set in 30 years or something.
But and we have to look at it in context of the last 6, 7, 8 games. This is
right.
What it is.
So. And outside of the big pop in Philly, the over-under that Vegas has set for this is 36 points. That's the lowest of any NFL game in the last 6 years. I mean, think about that. 18 points each.
Man, Jacksonville
I don't think they're getting to 36, fellas.
All right, so 49 and a half for AP. Here's what's screwed up. I'm more tempted to go over on Josh Johnson at 200 than I am AP at 50.
Yeah, that's just the problem. The problem for this offense, that's still a very good defensive line, despite the Henry stuff. That's still a good group, and they're facing an offense that not just are you starting the guards that you are.
Right.
But there are a lot of mismatched parts, and there are sometimes where you're watching other guys. Some of the veterans need to do a better job blocking. That's been an issue.
The penalties,
and some of those penalties go back to having a fourth quarterback. Because I was talking to Morgan Moses about this too earlier today. I know you guys were, but you know there are times where like Johnson might say something, and that in the past is a trigger that the next sound you hear is the snap.
Yep.
Well, then he may not be on that same page with them, so he's going to try and change something when it's too late to do that. That leads to a false start. So there are little things like that always happen, but it's also, you know, you have receivers who are missing blocks, and sometimes it's because they're in a different position than they're used to, and blah, blah, blah. So it's going to be tough.
So under for you?
So you're going,
yes,
you're
sorry.
Going under 50?
That's a long way under. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm torn because it's in other games in the
you're
past
good, dude.
We've worried about the Redskins falling behind, but I don't know if they'll fall behind too much with Cody Kessler on the other side. However, because the guard situation is so messed up and because Jacksonville has to just hone in on Peterson, of course you're going to choose to stop him instead of play off and make Johnson beat you. I am just going to say under because it's so easy to just suffocate AP and make the quarterback beat you.
Correct.
Mitchell?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're gonna. I think I'm going under too.
I'm under.
Going
under
is a popular phrase out around here.
Yeah, I'm thinking like he could easily have like 22 carries for 53 yards, and that would be an over.
That
but
sounds
I'm,
entirely.
Yeah,
but
legitimate.
Also, and I think your point too is like this is. First of all, you don't want to fall behind Cody Kessler. I think that's like an unwritten rule.
I don't
in the
think
NFL.
That sentence has ever been said in the entire world.
But if they get an early lead, then you're starting to look at this differently because they will try to run and play defense to win that game. So I think that's the thing. But they're also going to use Johnson's legs. And my guess is if you're going to go to some pistol, you may use a little bit more of
Thompson
or someone like that to do it. So I don't know what the role will be for AP. And you know,
so that's 8-for-8 on unders.
A little bit about all the options that we think they're going to run. I think you run those with Chris Thompson as opposed to 18.
Right, exactly. That's why I think his numbers could be a little bit lower.
So we're 8 for 8 unders through two. All right, time for the wild card. We got a lot of good ones. I asked for him on Twitter. 1.5 defensive touchdowns from our boy Rob Sievers. That's too high. It would have to be a half, but we're not doing that. Total turnovers between both teams, 3.5. Interesting. JP Flame from the Junkies said over under 1.5 turnovers for Josh Johnson. It's a little juicy.
What if we just do over under 36 points?
That's kind of what I was getting to that.
Under.
Oh.
You shouldn't end that. JP.
I had a call come in. Everybody, you still there, Mitch?
I'm here.
All right. I think we just do over under 36. Let me run through some of these. The cute one said over under 3 Morgan Moses false starts, which is kind of crucial, but interesting. Simi Cobb's catches, not going to happen now. Over under.
Well, could do it.
Could.
Over under number of times I get to post the Tressway picture, 8.5. This is the last one. Over under 27 players controlling their own destinies. Mm-hmm. Versus over under 10 players attacking success.
Over under total players to throw a pass for the Redskins.
I like that one.
1.5.
I like that. All right, so we're just doing the Vegas line, 36 points, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Kime. You know what? Go ahead, Pete.
All right.
Kime said under.
So we have Josh Johnson playing pretty quietly, Peterson being held in check. Oh, my God. 20-17 is basically what you need to cover this. Can they get to 20-17? I'm going to say it goes over the total.
Mitchell.
You know what? We keep talking all the time about how crazy the NFL is and this, that, and the other thing, and so many different crazy things have to happen for something, you know, every time you expect it to be the lowest scoring game ever, you get the highest scoring game and whatnot. So I'm going over. I think there's going to be some points scored. I think out of nowhere we're going to see offense.
I'm not expecting a ton of offense. I'm just expecting over 36.
I was poised to go over until both of you did, but what the hell? We'll all go over except Con.
Well, Con, then we're all going to tie. You, me, and Mitch are guaranteed to tie.
I don't care. I think. I'm confident Kime doesn't care.
No, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because right. They're going under. So it doesn't matter.
You know what? It might not just be the players that it feels like week 17 for.
What's the mood in this car?
Yeah. We'll go quick.
I have my buzzer ready to go on Sunday.
We'll go quick on this. How does this game unfold, Pete? You start. Brought to you by Rich Chandler's Lazy Boy.
I just cannot pick the Redskins to win with all of the issues they've had defensively, and it's a shame because they're playing about the one team whose quarterback situation is comparable to theirs. But just the way they're playing, and more importantly, I guess the way they're kind of acting in the locker room, kind of sniping at each other, I just don't think there's enough chemistry and positive thinking and feeling and vibes to predict a win. So I think the Jaguars win because they can run the ball better than the Redskins do.
Mitch, go.
I'm going to stick with positive Mitch here, and I'm going to think that the Redskins get just enough offense to get by. I'm going to go 23-16 Redskins.
Just enough? That's a shootout, man.
Yeah, dude. That's a...
That's Chiefs-Rams 2.0.
39 points is a shootout?
Kime, you're up.
Okay, well, I am not going for Mitch's shootout.
Battle of the Titans.
Now, I will say, to me, the absolute key is if the Redskins get ahead, if they score the first touchdown, I think they win. Because I just don't see either one of these offenses doing it. If the Redskins have more points at the end of the fourth quarter, I think they win. But I'm not necessarily anticipating that. So I just see this as both teams having a harder time moving the ball, sustaining anything, and which defense then to me is better. Yep. Well, Jacksonville, I think, is a better, more consistent defense, and I think that makes a difference. I did have close game shootout 9-7. So now I will say, like I said,
imagine if we go to Florida for a 9-7 win. Goodness gracious!
Yeah. I mean, and you know, part of me that's kind of being a little bit of a smart alecky pick.
Right,
but
I get
it's
it.
Not that smart alecky.
No, it's not.
Pete said you're not that smart.
But I do think, like I said, to think if you get ahead, and this is a game where you get ahead first, you can play a different style, yeah, and you go from there. But defense is going to have to create field position. And so, again, it's just like, what was the game earlier this year where you're kind of dead, you get a turnover early, and now it changes. Was it the Giants game?
Yeah, last week.
The first one.
Right.
Where it's like you're not sure, and then all of a sudden you get something, and you create that momentum. They have to create momentum.
It's been so long since the defense has created anything.
Correct.
Except you're, drama.
And that's what and that's what they need, and we'll see if they get it. I don't expect it. You got a fourth-string quarterback versus second-string quarterback, and the Jags are...
Second-string behind Bortles.
Right, yeah, which maybe that's like a 1A.
But that's like an equivalent of...
Right.
No. Yeah.
He's still, listen, they've been in the offense. Their offense is banged up.
Right, you got a guy that just got here too.
Yeah, that's all
last week. You know me, I think the Skins can cover this thing. I think that's a big number for an offense that can't score in Jacksonville. But it's hard to predict a win. I can't do it this week.
I can't do it, yeah. I'd rather be wrong predicting a loss than a win.
Okay. All right, we are about done. Want to thank the good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, so you should do the same. All right, the folks that... Two dudes, you know Survivor Pools, John?
Yeah.
So we do a big one for the podcast.
Old do you think I am?
I don't know, dude. I was kind of, it was kind of like a kidding rhetorical. Let's get to our next topic.
Well, yes, JP, I do know Survivor.
There we go. Two guys have gotten to the end.
It wasn't any of us.
Yeah,
it was week two.
One dude named Paul, and do you know the other guy's name?
I forget.
But I guess they both lost last week at the same week. So there's no way for them to keep going. So here's what we're going to do. You both win. It's a millennial avocado trophy. Congratulations. This is the Pete Haley everybody wins trophy.
I think we cut the hoodie in half. Are you kidding me? One guy gets the sleeves, one guy gets the hoodie.
Well, because there's two winners, nobody gets a hoodie. You both get a T-shirt. Email me, james.finley@nbcuni.com, and we'll get something in the mail to you. Maybe you'll get there for Christmas time. Be a stocking stuffer.
The Millennial Avocado Trophy is
the Millennial Avocado Everybody Wins Trophy.
That is pretty good.
All right. I think we're done here. Kime, dinner Sunday night in Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Do we find a steak?
Seafood?
Steak? Seafood. I'm up for either.
Yeah.
Let's get a nice bottle of wine that I can open.
Oh,
since
geez.
I'm so good at that.
Maybe you'll be
and
better.
Some cigars,
I still have the video.
Please.
That video needs to emerge.
Yeah. No. Too much leaking going on this week. We don't need any more.
It's a private
has
video.
Been some. It's a private conversation.
Conversation. Right. I shouldn't say private video. That sounds a little bit creepy.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I was not sending you any of those.
Time for us to run. You will hear from us again after the Redskins and Jags game. Do the Buckeyes even play this weekend?
No, I just feel excited.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys for listening. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.